find my side of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Gregorino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Tighten up that wig, baby, because we're here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where we talk about wigs.
Wigs.
With your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, Wingman.
I'm wigging out.
XO man at the con when I step aside, Mr. Joe D.
Jay. It's me. It's the other guy. What's up out there?
And we are getting into the groove because it's crappy outside, but it's going to be warm in here.
Yeah.
You can get a hold of us. Now, today, we have a very special, we got a special thing. We have a different phone number for today. It is 516-572-0606. It's for today only. There's some kind of fracocta thing with the phone line, so I don't even know if that's going to flash.
The tin can in the string kind of got...
Yeah.
Messed up there.
So the string got a knot in it.
They're running new string. I saw them out there. There's a really big reel.
That's what they were doing.
I never knew that phone company looking stuff actually came. You know, the string actually came on one of those.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And again, you can find us other ways. You can find us on the web, motormouthradio.com.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter.
Some people actually have it on their phones installed now, right, guys?
Yeah. Oh, good, good. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Motormouth Radio. And Joe's favorite Instagram is...
Real_Motormouth Radio.
Right. We're on all the platforms. Follow us. Like us. We put up some strange stuff, things that sometimes are
out of the
box.
Throw us candy.
Yeah, we do all... Yeah, candy. Ooh, candy is good.
Ooh,
we like that.
Candy.
So, and we'll play like and kind. So until then, we'll just talk about our own stuff because there's always things circulating in our...
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on. What, are you kidding me?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, usually the post-holiday lull, doldrums. Uh-huh. Doldrums. I actually can't remember. Yeah, I remember that word, doldrums. Are starting to dissipate. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get phone calls and, hey, I got this car, and you know, so it's back out on the road doing stuff. I put a couple on Facebook and Instagram. We had vacuum leak time.
What kind of car was that, Joe?
That was a Pontiac Grand Prix, where it looks like
a 69 SJ with a 455 and a 4-speed.
No, it's great granddaughter. It's just your basic like 2006, grocery getter type
of
thing. You know,
all right.
And basically what happens there is, it sounded like a vacuum leak, behaved like a vacuum leak, had codes like a vacuum leak, basically a PO-171.
Oh, there you go.
PO-131. 171 is fuel trim lean. That always starts first.
Yep.
And then if the stuff has still stuck to the fan, it ends up being a PO-131, which is oxygen sensitive voltage too low.
Right.
And we couldn't... The smoke just wasn't really doing it. Now... It also depends on the shop.
Oh, that was the picture you put up. Okay.
Yeah, it also depends on the shop. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of shops are really busy. Sometimes they're a little, you know, close quarters. You got the guy with the torch in the next bay, you know, and, you know, all kinds of, you know, or somebody revving an engine without piping it up.
Right.
And then, you know, sometimes you can't see the smoke. So, basically, at that point, I remembered that the snap-on tool that they use, the dye that they supply with it, has a fluorescent dye.
right.
that is visible underneath black light.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out the amber glasses.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, that's always good for a joke of three. You know what I mean? And then, sure enough, you couldn't have seen it because of the way it sat. There was stuff in the way, implanting it.
Sure.
And sure enough, we saw the glow. It's like, guess what? Intake manifold's coming off again. So
there you go.
Yeah, plus a couple of injector O-rings, which was kind of strange.
Okay,
but
okay.
You know what? We went from like, this can't be. And what happened was is that everybody goes and grabs the can of carburetor cleaner, which, by the way, carburetor cleaner is no longer carburetor cleaner. It's diagnostic fluid. I wonder, we've got to see if that's in the Dakota.
I don't think it is, but yeah, we can make a note of that.
Diagnostic fluid, because carburetor cleaner, nobody cleans carburetors anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, I do.
You really, yeah, I know, but
nobody else.
Yeah, exactly. And, what happens is nowadays they have throttle body cleaner, mass airflow sensor cleaner.
It is important to use on throttle bodies, not carburetor cleaner.
Right, because you start like killing the coatings, or if it oozes into the sensor.
Right.
You know, all kinds of stuff like that's going to go on. So at that point, you know, they grab, and you know, you hit that stuff wrong, you know, you get that nice little
mm-hmm.
flame, or you start rotting rubber hoses and wires and stuff, because it's not, or better yet, it's the guys who use starting fluid.
Oh, yeah. That's...
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the bathroom now, which is on the other side of the shop, because just in case something goes boom, you know what I mean? I would like to have something in the way. Like,
and I'm wearing my Nomex suit. Right.
But, smoke rocks, and, you know, there are these days more affordable, machines out there. You know what I mean? If you're working on cars, regularly, you know what I mean? And you're tracing stuff like vacuum leaks and whatnot. I mean, there's a guy out there, I gotta find the website again. It was like $175.
Wow.
Which, you know, the newer tools, like from the professional companies, you know, they use specially formulated dye, smoke, medium stuff.
It's glycerin, right? It's a glycerin-based oil.
Some of the other ones actually use baby oil, you know, which is glycerin-based. You know, but they have, like, that special fluorescent dye in it.
Well, the dye is different.
For the black light and whatnot. Also, they have, you know, when you do them on, when you're doing EVAP systems, you have to monitor the amount of decay.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, it's like any other tool. You got your base model, and you got your upgraded stuff depending on what you're trying to do.
Right. I know there's a YouTube video. A guy shows how to make a $20 smoke machine.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
We've talked about that one in the past, too.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you got to. It's all about the amount of control. And if you're going to use it, like, for old-school cars, for vacuum leaks and stuff like that, we just picked one up at the old date, the UD. That was an old-school motor-driven one. Uh-huh. Which is pretty good, actually. One of my other vehicles this week was a Chevy Tahoe. That was right. The one that, if you looked at on the website, or it was me on a ladder.
Uh-huh.
It had leaks at the intake manifold and stuff like that.
Yeah. We saw just about this much of your face. So you could tell there was a guy attached to that.
Right, yeah.
That
I was trying to be a mechanic ninja there.
But the glove on the intake was on the other one. That was pretty cool. That's what
yeah,
caught
that's
my
same,
eye.
That's the same truck. That was the thing. Yeah, we couldn't find the block off caps.
Yeah, that caught
so my. We got an extra large glove and slid it over the intake track, and
uh-huh.
thing came and helped us out there. And
excellent.
After that, Lurch came and picked them up. You're right.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, I like the way he waved.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the way to go when you're dealing with vacuum leaks. And vacuum leaks on later they suck. Excuse the pun.
Well, they do.
But,
yeah, right.
But at this point, you know, when you're dealing with cars with mass airflow sensors and very precisely controlled systems, you know, that they use in the later model cars, a vacuum leak could really screw with you on anything from not just your typical lean codes, hard starts, that kind of stuff. But you could also get things like I have had them set EGR codes.
Mm-hmm.
EVAP codes. In other words, stuff you wouldn't necessarily associate directly with a vacuum leak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, any way you could fight the scourge of unintended sucking is uh-huh. definitely... You definitely got to get with the program there.
You want a tight engine, that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
Wow, that's cool. So that was your fun at the UD. I'm sure there was other stuff, too.
Yeah.
I know that Matt Goman Brian had said to me that, you know, back in the day, they used to smoke like two packs of cigarettes and could just blow it into a port somewhere. And that was, that's what's good to have cigars around.
At
the UD, that's a plenty.
Yeah, we have, as a matter of fact, I tried starting smoking cigars, and well, let's put it this way, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Because I will use this on a vacuum leak, you know, kind of mirroring your recent thought there. But yeah. I don't know. I found that you have to cut the end off the tip.
You do?
Yeah.
To get airflow.
Which I didn't know. And, are we flashing?
Otherwise, you'll be turning blue.
And also there was a... you gotta take that little rapid thing off too, otherwise it makes it nice little.
All right, we're gonna try this. Maybe that didn't work.
Either that or they gave up. We're still flashing.
Oh no, that ain't working.
Yeah, it looks like we got visual but no audio.
We got hotline, but we ain't got a.
I don't know what's going on. Caller, maybe give us a couple seconds so we can straighten this out. Hopefully you are calling the 516-572-0606 number instead of this 516.
Watch, all right. Here's Kim. We're going to try this again. Stay on the line, caller.
Caller, stay with us.
Push the six.
And, they hung up. I had a dial tone, Kim. I heard was dial tone.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
All right. All right, we'll try it again.
It's flashing again.
There it is again. Okay. So, hotline?
It's not ringing.
No, it's not ringing on there.
Don't call that number. No 7440.
Okay. They're calling a 7440. Don't call 7440 today. Call 572-0606. There was something on there a second ago.
Yeah.
I guess what it was, they probably went to the other number.
Right.
So
it's
going
to trip. It'll go.
Okay. Oh, it'll just
cycle. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's always fun on this show, Joe.
It's always tech time around here, you know?
Yeah, there's always the CD player crapping out. The stuff is... whatever.
That's what we have fire extinguishers and mops for, right?
Yeah. So I don't know.
So what did you end up playing with this week?
Well, I had two jobs. We talked about the throttle body last week. I had my own car in this week. It was a quiet day at the shop. I was able to get in there by myself, and I wanted to do an oil change. It was just about due, and I had a yes, Kip. Now it's ringing. All right.
Let's try this again.
We'll try to skip. Hello. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes, I'm on with the Motor Mouths.
Who are we speaking to?
This is Bob in Oceanside.
What's up, Bob?
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I have a problem with Impala 06.
Okay.
Got a P. No, it's a P1862 code.
1862. Something transmission related. Was it a check engine light? How's the car running? What's going on?
Check engine light. Car runs fine.
Okay.
Only thing, you can't start a remote when the light's on. The light goes on, light goes off.
Is that a factory installed remote?
Yes.
Okay. Most cars, GM in particular, let's talk about them, because if you have any code, like if you left your gas cap loose, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, or something like that,
yes.
you're not going to get the operation of the remote start will not work. I think it's A, for safety reasons, and B, to like get the customer's attention.
Attention, yeah.
You know what I mean? So as far as that goes, that's why the remote start is not working. Not necessarily a problem directly with the remote start. What motor is in that thing?
It's a 3.8. It's a big one, man.
And that's an 05, right? So that was an 05?
That's an 06.
It's a
3.9 motor.
3.9, okay, the big V6, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm looking it up now because, remember that the OBD codes go in a certain, P01, P03, mm-hmm. so on mm-hmm. and so forth. I'm looking it up now for you real quick because the exact definition does not come to my head, but I know it's tranny related. Let me see. Give me a second here. Ray, talk to this guy.
You know what, Bob? I'm going to ask you to hang on the line for a few minutes because we have to take a break. But stay with us, and when we're done with the break, we'll come back. You'll be on the line, and we'll pick up where we left off with this. Joe will have some information for you.
Okay,
was it 1862 or 1682?
The code again, Bob, please?
1862.
Okay, Bob, you hang on the line.
Okay.
We'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in a second after this quick little break. It's kind of cool because...
Oh, hang on.
All right. You keep where you got it, Bob. We'll be back on 90.3 WHPC.
90.3 WHPC wants to let you know that this Monday, January 21st, is not only the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, it is also WHPC Day at Miller's Ale House of Levittown. This Monday, January 21st, Miller's Ale House of Levittown is hosting a Give Back Day to support WHPC. More information can be found by searching for 90.3 WHPC on Facebook, at 903 WHPC on Twitter, or at 903 WHPC on Instagram. Miller's Ale House is located at 3046 Hempstead Turnpike in Levittown, across from the Tri-County Flea Market, where WHPC's Give Back Day is this Monday, January 21st, from 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Thanks to you and Miller's Ale House of Levittown for supporting the non-commercial educational radio at the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College, where you can learn how to become a dental assistant. An 80-hour program at Nassau Community College prepares students for entry-level positions in dental assisting. Class includes lectures, labs, and covers key areas and topics. The course begins March 4th and concludes May 15th, with classes conducted evening and Saturdays. More information is available at the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or by visiting ncc.edu.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
You can try not to lose your fight, but also don't step on the grass, Sam, because you don't want to be an ass man. And we are back, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, and we still have our Bob on the line, I assume, from Oceanside.
Okay, yes, I am.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I just brought up both ALLDATA and Identifix for the car that you specified, and that code does not come up. But it could be something with the torque converter. Was there anything done with this vehicle lately, as far as like pulling the tranny or anything like that?
No.
Okay, just kind of
no recent repairs or anything, because that usually, you know, our we had a co-host on the show years ago, Mikey T, who his favorite line, which was so true,
was
said,
"The last thing you touched."
Exactly, and usually it was related to the last thing that was touched in the car. So this just, you were just driving the car, check engine light came on, and you had it scanned.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have my own scanner, but you know it came out with this code, you know, 18, but my book doesn't show that code.
That's what I mean. I just looked up in.
I wonder if it could be something with his scanner. Maybe the scanner. How is it, an older scanner, or is it?
Yeah, well, I had a step-on scanner. A friend of mine down the street, you know, was a Tyree at the early transmission.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I'm a friend of Christians, you know.
Gotcha.
I work at Orient Express with him.
Yes.
Because I see 1682.
It's not Orient Express no more.
Right.
Long Island Racing.
Yeah, now it's Long Island Racing, and it's becoming Long Island's machining capital. Christian is making some parts, man.
He's I know.
Injection molding collar holders for the lathe. He's doing some really cool stuff out there. It's always nice to see his. That's right, Bob. You know what? I met you at the East Rockaway Cruise Night last night.
Last night.
Last summer. And, I want to hook up with you. You actually said you had a radio that would, an AM FM radio that would work in my car. So I got to.
I do.
Yeah, we're going to have to touch base again.
Okay.
As the weather.
And you're right down the street from me, you know.
That's right. The shop I work at is right near your house, right?
Yeah, on Westlake Avenue.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So this is interesting, because Joe, it's not
that
often.
That code is not coming up.
Yeah, it's not often that Joe scratches
vehicle,
his head.
You know what I mean?
You know, Bob, I'll tell you what. I can, through Christian, I can get information and I can get back to you. What we'll do is.
So if ALLDATA and Identifix come up with, you know, they shrug their shoulders, that's kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah, we're not getting an immediate answer. So what I'll do is, I'm sure Joe will work on this offline, and if we get info, I will make sure I get it to you. I'll go through Christian and get your info, and I'll contact you on that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob, and we'll speak with you again soon.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, Bob. Thank you.
Bye.
So long. All righty. That was. It's not often, Joe, that that happens with you.
Yeah, no, really. I mean, you know, that's one thing about using, I try to use professional grade information systems. But P1862, that's,
yeah.
That's kind of interesting there, as far as that goes. I do know it's something in the training.
Right.
Okay. It's probably something in the, something in the torque converter area.
Okay.
One of our eyes in the sky mentioned TCC enable solenoid circuit low voltage.
Uh huh.
Which sounds about right, but when I bring up the when I bring up the manufacturer specific information, it doesn't show up. So
right.
I'm gonna have to do a little research on this, because the other thing too is that every once in a while you can get skunked by different scanners. You know what I mean? I've had scanners give me wrong codes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So before we get nuts and go down the rabbit hole, God knows I know about the rabbit hole.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you know what? It's disappointing is you don't find Bugs Bunny down there.
No.
You never got a carrot for me or nothing. But it's very easy to get completely taken off back. But hey, we'll figure it out. 06 Impala with a 3.9. All right. We'll get going.
So again, if you want to be like Bob, you can get a hold of us today on our temporary number, which is 516-572-0606. And don't forget to check our website out, because there's always things changing up there. You know, we have blogs, articles that we put up. Some of them we actually we curate the info ourselves and put it up. Some we use from other places like Automoblog, one of our most trusted sources. Carl Anthony and his guys are a great source for us. But we have some videos that are going to go up too. I was doing a little bit of work on the snowplow video yesterday, and that's being edited and put together as we speak. That's kind of a big process.
Yes, the snowplow, which is going to become very pertinent soon.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't pertinent this morning on the way here.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, you're right.
I had the snow shovels out, you know what I mean? You had, like, you know, the little shovel for the steps. I got the broom. You know, I got all the stuff ready to go, and nothing.
Yeah, good.
Exactly.
Good.
Not that I'm complaining up there, Mr. You know,
last week, our buddy Brian Matko, man, and Jason, who's over in Virginia, on the Thursday night show, I caught up with them, and those guys are right below us. They caught the wrath of what happened last week.
Yeah.
Luckily, it just kind of went totally below us, but they paid the price for that.
Right.
So, actually, Brian was saying that, you know, the he Googled that code, and it says it was a transfer case contact.
Yeah, well, you see, that's a manufacturer-specific code. Uh-huh. All right? So, in other words, with P, powertrain, right? One means that it's a specific code to that particular car company.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In other words, that when you have a P1 whatever, it could be different on a Ford, or it could be different on a Toyota. And I have seen where the same number code means different things when you got that P1.
Right, right.
So it could be very easy to get misled. Or sometimes this is where the generic information that you see online or whatever, it's relevant, but you know, when you're dealing with an actual diagnosis, you want to know what it's about the vehicle you're working on.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because it could mean different things. Like P1406, for example, is incorrect EGR position on a lot of GM products, right? Now, there's a little linear position sensor in the valve, you know, have a nice day, you know, it goes out of whack, whatever the case may be, all right? Now, you put it on certain other car companies, there is a temperature sensor that reads the wrong thing at the wrong time. So it's it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of sort of EGR related,
right,
but is it the exact same? Especially if you're on the get the code, change the part.
Right.
School of thought. That
shoot
will
the parts, Canada.
There you go. That at that point now, that's going to definitely send you down the rabbit hole.
Right.
And sometimes the rabbit hole is too big, is too small for the parts cannon, and so you get in trouble fast, you know?
I want to tell you a little rabbit hole thing, too. This is kind of rabbit hole related. I was, like I said before, I was working on my own car yesterday, doing an oil change, and then I pulled the rear shocks out because I thought that they were flaky, and yeah, they were shot. So, they were ordered, and I'm waiting for the parts guy. I'm doing some stuff around the shop, and I happen to be looking at my own car, and I'm looking up by the radiator, the lower part of the radiator, and I see something that looked out of whack. You know, when you see something, we'd always say in a show, you look for something that's either shiny or wet or,
Of course,
bent.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of saw one of those things. talk for a second so I can walk over to my bag.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, you're doing the traditional oil change checkover. You know what I mean? We always say stick your hands in your pockets, just look around and see. Ew,
I saw something that looked like
I was going to say, a snake.
It looked like a condenser fin.
Yeah.
And I said,
look at that.
But they were like out of place at the bottom of the, you know, above the plastic, but below the radiator. And I said, God, that can't be from my car because the way it was. And I actually started pulling on it.
If this was from your car,
I pulled it right out.
Yeah.
And I said,
it probably got kicked up.
Well, but where it was, it's like, didn't make sense for it to kick up, right? Because it was jammed in there. It was, and I'm scratching my head saying, you know, I know that the defrost is working, so the AC, like, what the heck? How did this happen? Well, when Mike came back to the shop later on, I showed him. I said, hey, look, let me show you something. This is kind of weird. And I showed him where I found it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean?
Don't you love when they do that?
He goes, it's the lower. Well, they do a lot of collision work.
Right, yeah.
He says, it's the lower rung of the condenser is exactly what it is. And I said, so, Mike, how? He goes, no. He goes, it's like a filler piece.
Okay.
He goes, we've seen them usually in an accident. Now, I didn't have a front-end accident.
Come flying off.
He says, yeah. He goes, we usually just pull those out and throw it away and don't tell anybody about it. I'm like, well, that's what I'm going to do, but I'm going to bring it into the radio show and show the microphone because I'll take a picture of it, and if we have a place for it, we'll put it somewhere. But
yeah, I mean,
probably on Instagram later.
Exactly. No, it makes sense because what would happen is that you don't want that airflow. You want to keep the airflow going in the right direction, thus the fins.
Now, the rest of them are connected into the side rails because they do flow the gas.
Yeah, that's how you get the flow. But
from the AC, yeah.
I guess to keep the heat transfer.
It's just another one of those things. The things you see as a car gets a little older. My car is now 13 years old, and it's hitting the cycle for some repair stuff. And here's another one that I never saw coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as cars age, you never know what's going to fall off.
Kind of like us. necessarily fall off, but just like. Twist,
yeah.
Kink, ache, pain. I'm getting arthritis in my thumb. Every time I work on the car, my thumb has this arthritis in it that's killing me.
You got to put on your socks. You got to answer the phone.
Oh,
you know, next thing you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a good part of the day yesterday bent over a car, you know, trying to track down a misfire.
Yeah.
And every time I straightened up because, you know, I spent some time with the current probe trying to catch a good spot to grab a starter cable.
Right.
And, you know, just like getting your arm in there and just kind of bending down low and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's either funny. I either get these cars that are on the ground or I get the ones that I need a ladder for. Nobody's got like a normal car anymore.
I know.
Everything's up there or down there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It ain't
easy no more.
My problem is every time I go out for a test drive, I find another Camaro sitting in the driveway.
Oh, I hate you.
Hey, how do you think I feel? So I got to share it with Joe because he's my Camaro compadre. I got to send it to him and say, look, I found another one. I actually found a first-gen Monte Carlo right by that first, by the first second-gen Camaro that I found. There's a Monte sitting just two blocks away in a burgundy car in a driveway.
Seems to be a, did it have a for sale sign or was it just sitting there?
Yeah, I tell you, that town is ripe with Chevys.
Yeah, seriously.
And there's a Roadrunner up the road too, kind of like right by where not far from Bob's.
That's kind of cool. I mean, you know, my neighborhood, it's all like, you know, transportation module, Nissans, Toyotas, you know. Nothing fun.
No.
Nothing fun.
Well, I tell you, we're going to have some fun. We're going to take another break. But first, I got to mention a show that I like, the Rare Groove Session. It's on Friday night and early Saturday mornings at 1 a.m. You can take a mind excursion into soul music with DJ Solero. He'll cover the artists of the 60s and 70s with an accent on rock. He does a great job, and he happens to be a good friend of ours. We're going to call you. Hang on, because we're going to take our break, and we'll come back. Let's see, in about 28 time units.
Time units?
See if that makes sense on 90.3 WHPC.
Are you telling the microphone to smile so you could take a picture of it?
Yeah. So, which side do you think is its good side?
It's just a microphone.
I know, it's a microphone. perfect. I think I'll put the Lark filter on it.
Why did you take a picture of the microphone, and who cares what filter you're going to use?
You'd care if you followed 903WHPC on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Wait, I want to go viral. Take a picture of me. Get my good side and use that Lark filter.
Follow 903WHPC on Instagram and join the conversation from the voice of Nassau Community College.
I said get my good side. Delete that.
Ugh.
That's 903WHPC on Instagram from 90.3WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
All right, we're delving back into the 60s here with some good old Steppenwolf from their second album. Stuff you don't hear on the air anymore, but you will hear snippets of it here on Motormouth Radio because Joe and I are just those kind of guys.
Yeah, those kind of guys.
We like to dig
deep. That you've
deep.
Been warned about.
Yes.
And yet you're still here.
And you are.
So you have our respect.
Our gratitude, you yes. Are everybody else laughs at you, but we...
you have our respect. You are worthy adversaries.
We think you're cool, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So,
all right, so we were talking about last week... Let's see, we covered a bunch of stuff here. What's... I think that, you know, I thought there was something I wanted to talk about that I was supposed to write down.
The flying condenser thingy here.
Right, but no, there's something I wanted to write down and I didn't, so I dropped the ball on that one, so...
Yeah, I don't know how to write. I'm illiterate, so I don't know.
Too lazy. So,
yeah. Well, let's see. What other jobs have we covered? Yeah, you know, we had the vacuum leak. Mm-hmm. We had the.
What's new with the UD?
Well, let's see.
What's the state of the Corvette? Anything?
Well, we got about five boxes from Rock Auto.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all kinds
of rocks.
Box of rock, yeah. You know, except that we sometimes mispronounce it, but that's another story.
Yeah, of course you do. What's a little mispronunciation amongst friends?
Amongst friends, yeah. I mean, you know, we're sitting around drinking green drinks and smoking cigars. And okay. So sometimes things don't exactly go in a totally professional manner, but that's okay.
A Slurm and maybe a can of Romulan ale, and everything is good around a campfire.
Pepper and whiskey there.
Yeah.
And then, so.
Does it mix with scotch?
Does it make a good mixture?
Yeah.
It is green, so.
Right. It is. I don't know if it is green.
But, we got a slew of brake parts.
Oh, cause, right, because it needs them all.
Yeah, remember, this thing sat literally for, as far as we could tell, at least 30 years.
Sure.
All right, and so we got calipers, we got brake pads, we got brake hoses, all kinds of stuff, plus the fuel pump gave up the ghost. So
let me ask you this, with the connections that you guys got up there especially, why didn't you go for having the calipers from the car rebuilt?
Because this is more like, okay, well, for one thing, the two rear calipers, there was only half of them there.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, because somebody's trying to diagnose the locked wheel and, you know, came up with the, the common Corvette locked caliper, you know, not thinking that there's stuff inside the rotor as well.
Right.
So we just says, you know what, okay. Now's a good time to fire the parts cannon.
Okay.
For something like that.
Sometimes that's valid.
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, you want everything fresh. You know, you could get them redone. You could clean them up and spend time refurbishing, you know, rebuilding stuff. But also, at this point, though, it's going to take about a day.
Yeah, I know. You know,
a solid work day of, like, putting everything together, yeah. Bleeding it.
No, it's a command decision. You can do that anyway. I mean, it's a command decision, and I'm just curious, you know, because sometimes it's easy. You could go either way. I know, I know some places where I could have calipers rebuilt, or you could do them yourself, too. Sometimes, right. With something like that, it's better to send them out to a place that's set up to do it.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, you know, you can take your time. We do have some talented individuals there, but what we want the car to do when it's done is be a driver.
is disappear and be replaced by a pile of cash.
Yeah, that's
it's like bing. You want genie like you, yep. you want to have that graphic of like
bing,
you know, and then it's like poof, and then a pile of cash.
That would be nice. You know, plus we want the owner to have a good time with it.
Well, because so. That's you know the owner, so that's the thing. This one is
right.
It's
so,
not going over to Kenosha. It's gonna follow you.
Yeah, it's going to be with us in one form or another for quite some time.
Right.
So I mean, at this point, you know, we want the car to drive good. I mean, you know, you know, the stuff that's available is quality parts. You know what I mean? It's all name brand stuff, right. Not Uncle.
No, you can get some really good stuff through Rock.
Yeah, right. So we just got four or five boxes, all heavy, you know, like, all say caution heavy.
Right.
You know, so we got them all in there, broke it down.
And did the shipping label say deliver to the UD?
Well, I actually went to the UD's other location.
Oh,
so.
Okay, yeah.
You know, what happens is that we do have alternate routes, you know, through space-time dilation. You know, it shows right. up at other... Because I can imagine somebody actually showing up at the UD with, like, a post office truck or a UPS truck sitting there knocking on the door going...
Can you imagine?
These guys over here? No.
Yeah.
So that's why there's the U in the UD. You know?
Right. You need a transporter beam is what you need. You need a transport. You need a transporter deck.
Yeah.
In the corner, you have to clear out a couple of places.
Either that or like clear out on the roof, you know what I mean? Someplace
right.
where you could drop parachutes and stuff like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
Amazon
I mean?
Drone could come in. And
yeah, exactly. That would be great to see a fleet of drones come in dropping off like all kinds of brake stuff.
Yeah.
But the Corvette is scheduled.
Okay.
Actually, before the Corvette goes up, the mighty Cavalier Mark II.
Really?
Has been making some noises out of the brake system.
Okay.
So I think it's time, you know, that poor thing, it thinks it's Japanese.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to get that in there. It's going to go up in the air, going to yank the wheel, see what's going on. I'm pretty sure it's due for like an oil change anyway. So
what kind of noises? Okay. That's like, yeah, the test pattern on TV. That's one you want to look at.
Right, exactly. So I figure let me spend a couple hours with it, getting, you know, depending on what it is, you know, we'll either put it back in the service, you know what I mean, or and order the stuff up or right. whatever, or it gets what do they call that, red lined.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna red line it, and then thank God there's other cars in the fleet. So
yes, absolutely,
it's okay. So that's probably going to be this afternoon's this afternoon's little mission there.
All right.
As far as that goes, luckily everything else is running okay.
The good thing is it'll probably be
something stupid.
Fairly obvious.
Yeah, if it's making
yeah
noises, you know.
Right, right.
And once in a while, it's just a matter of you want to just get the thing. You know, good time, good opportunity to rotate the tires.
I was thinking,
you know,
the same
what I mean.
Thing,
the thing
right.
with, you know, that's one thing about the lift. You know, you could get the car in the lift, you get everything apart, see what you got to see.
Oh yeah,
and then do what you got to do. And
yeah.
it's not the same. I'm not up for jacking cars. I mean, I still think you jack it up. You put the horse under it. You crawl under there. Blah blah blah.
It's so much work to set a car. Like I said, it's more work setting it up than doing the job you actually have to do.
Right, right. So
with jack stands and such, yeah.
You're right, yeah. And you know when you stand up and you hear that cracking noise out of your knees and your back and whatnot.
I was asked to do an oil change on the Silverado last week, the one with the snowplow, and that's an LS engine. 15-millimeter wrench, by the way, I learned on the LS.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, it's a Silverado. It's a big truck. So I said, you know what? It's outside. You really can't get it in the shops. It's got a 10-foot plow on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'll just pull it up to the bay. I'll throw the moving blanket down. I'm wearing my thermal suit anyway. I'll just roll under it.
Yeah.
And I was able to roll under it and do it right on the ground without having to...
There are times where, you know, with trucks and like that, you might as well just crawl under there. But that's different. That's not, you're not jacking nothing up.
Well, and that's why, because that truck wouldn't be easy to jack up. And
right.
it ain't going on the lift.
No.
When I did the brakes, or like at the end of the summer, I did just use a jack with a 4x4 on it to hit the chassis so
right.
I could lift it enough to get that giant monstrosity of a wheel off. That was when I... mash my face and maybe
right, yeah.
My eye.
You never know what's going to happen. You know, you always get that. You always have to wear safety equipment of some type because
yeah, football
God only
helmet.
Knows. Yeah,
when trucks attack,
and they usually do. They're like sleeping dogs. You don't want to be touching. Are we flashing again?
We are.
Yay!
So we're gonna try this. We'll say hi. You're all at the Motor Mouths.
Hey Ray. Hey Joe. It's Mike Jr.
Hey, Mike, Junior, what's up? Wow, you sound so much more official on the phone. Jeez.
Yes.
What's happening, Mike?
Fine, Molly.
Oh, you know, we're just...
I have a question for you guys.
Uh-oh.
Okay, shoot.
We need some more rental cars, and I wanted to know what you guys thought about the Nissan CVT transmissions.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm going by what our friend Pat over at Dial has told me in the past. The CVTs, in the beginning, he was a little leery of them, and they've proven to be pretty good units.
They've gotten better. They definitely got better. I mean, I remember seeing those things coming into the shop all the time. You know, they throw codes. They don't, not quote-unquote, shift. They do all kinds of stupid stuff. I had a 14 Altima in the family that towards the end of its, it was a lease. And one of the reasons why is because of that tranny, that it started acting kind of funky. And it was like, okay, it's time to go. Now, I have another one, another Nissan, that so far, knocking wood, has behaved itself. I would say if you're going to keep them a couple years and not abuse them, although you are talking about loaner cars here,
yes,
they ought to be fine. And the thing is, they're under warranty.
Yeah, it's true, too.
You know what I mean? So,
unless you're talking used, Mike. Are you talking about picking up something new or used?
Yeah, possibly used. The only thing that I had a fallback with is a fleet customer told me he had a fleet car as a Nissan CVT, and he said, oh, it went back, and they had to replace the whole transmission. So that kind of scared me the other day.
That's pretty much how they got to do them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Depending on the nature of the malfunction, I mean, the last version the iteration that I had anything to do with, the valve body was also the transmission computer.
Mm.
So it's like a shotgun type of thing, you know, whether you want it or not. Yeah, when they do go, and I say when, it's going to hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so hopefully if we do get one, it'll behave. But if it doesn't, I'm sure you two will be seeing it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, hey, that's why we're here. You know, plug in the scan tool, see what's going on. Although I would say 90%, 95% of the codes and whatnot that come up that are not, say, wrong fluid related or something like that are pretty much going to be, go see the tranny guy.
Yeah, Jeep and Al had a problem, too, with one of his, and they had to replace it, and he said the same thing. The whole tranny had to go.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of the way of the that's kind of the way of the world, Mike. That stuff is, it's going to be more and more prevalent, so we're going to see more and more of them.
Yeah, the only thing is that everything's CVT now, pretty much.
I know.
Subaru, Toyota.
Now, if it was me or someone I knew buying a used vehicle, I'd say buy an extended warranty with it. And this way... You're covered. So, I mean, that may be. I know that in the game you're talking, it's usually about spending the less amount of money
right.
to make the most amount.
Best bang for the buck.
That might not be a bad idea though, too, with an extended warranty. So
yeah, that's for sure.
Either that or get to know that tranny guy really good. Make sure he gets like a bottle of booze, some fruit platter, or some quinoa salad, or some kind of crap. I don't know.
Let's face it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that if you're talking about like an economy type car, you know, your basic fleet rental type vehicle, you're pretty much stuck with a CVT.
Yeah.
You know, any of the cars in that class are going to be like that, so.
Yeah, we had a couple Hyundais, but when people hear Hyundai, they go, ee.
Yeah, but do you want to know something? They hold together pretty good.
I'll tell you, when my car was in Mike's shop for the front end hit a few years ago, I had a rental thing. They rented me it was a Hyundai Solara, a new car, Solara. Yeah, what's the hell the name of the car?
Sonata.
I'm sorry, Sonata. Right. I knew it was with an S. And that thing was, I actually had to get out and open the hood and look and see, like, what size engine it was. And it was a 4, which felt like a 6, and it was a CVT. And that thing was... It was impressive. It really was.
Yeah, they're not bad. And like I always say, for the first 3 years, for sure, maybe 4, you could get any car you want.
Right.
Because, you know, unless that particular company has got some kind of a recall level problem, no car company makes cars last for the duration of the warranty. As much as possible,
of course,
you know?
Sure. You know, the other thing, Mike, you can always go this route. Just get cars that have 5 speeds in them and make sure the customer base toughens up and say, listen, bucko,
right, yeah.
You drive a stick or you go somewhere else.
We'll have a package of clutches on the parts counter there, waiting to replace them for you.
Yeah, great.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I can't think of anything that's got real gears in it anymore.
I know.
You know,
it is kind of becoming the industry standard because, you know, for fuel efficiency, that thing shifts infinitely. It's
exactly
infinite on the fly, you know, gear change.
Right.
Well, if you guys have any suggestions on what rental cars I should get next, definitely let me know. And if anyone else listening has a suggestion for a good car that's economy wise, let me know.
Excellent.
Yeah, by all means. Yeah, let us, everybody out there, let us know your experiences if you have a newer, you know, economy level vehicle there.
I say a fleet of avalanches would be nice.
Yeah. Well, people don't sell them, so,
yeah.
You know.
See, after you said that to me yesterday, I thought to myself, yeah, just like an FJ. So people aren't getting rid of them, because I was just talking to Joe about that before the show. And that's, you know, you can read any car magazine you want, any articles. You look at what people do with their vehicles and what they keep, and that's the trends to follow, because...
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Car guys and gals, they know what's going on.
Right. So yeah.
Cool stuff.
That's the kind of thing maybe you go into the dealer of the dealership of the car you're thinking about, and you buy like the service manager a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? On the down low. Because, like, God, if he doesn't have something good to say, you don't want the sales department to hear about him saying it.
Those guys do know, yeah.
Yeah, because they know. When I worked for Chevy, I would know what was coming in the door. Like, when I would get there before people would be lined up.
Yeah.
You know, and I would be able to, back in those days, it was a completely different line of cars, you know, say, right. Chevy Citations, you know, stuff like that. You know, and I knew, like, okay, that one's going to need a training. That one's going to need a cylinder head, you know. You kind of knew it. Yeah. It was a game I used to have with the service manager. What's this one in for? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, so. I know that, Mike, I know you do have a couple of VWs, but I think it's safe to say stay away from the Audis and the Mercedes.
I had the pleasure of driving your Chevy Cruze the other day, and that was a nice car. I was trying to find one of those on the internet, but no dice yet.
The Cruze is a nice drive. As soon as we got that car, I said, this is a nice driving car.
Yeah.
And I would imagine the Malibu isn't far off. That's got to be close.
Yeah.
You know, that's... That is nice. Yeah, I was very impressed with that car as well. But then again, driving that Audi A6 impressed me too. Just, I don't think I want to be impressed with it long term.
Yeah.
It's already got me buying new tools.
Yeah.
Matco Man's happy. Selling me some e-torque sockets.
Yeah, he's rubbing his hands together right now.
Oh, boy. I tell you, it's a vicious cycle, right? I mean, the cars you work on dictate the tools you buy and your tool guys. So maybe it's the tool guys who are sending the cars to the shops because they know that you'll have to buy the tools to support those cars. Maybe there's a nefarious thing going on here we don't know about.
Yeah.
And if Ray owns one of those cars, then he's got to buy more than one set of tools, one for home, one for shop.
That's right. Yeah, because you can't be stuck. Home without. Well, just, you know, Joe was just showing Mike yesterday. When I took the shock out of my car, there was an upper mount,
right?
And there was a nut that held that mount on the stem of the shock.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
And of course, I used a pair of vice grips on the shock to get the nut. And I told Mike, there's a double D socket that I have in my toolbox at home.
Yes.
That
I use. Yeah.
And I said, you know, now I'm gonna have to buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there was a point where mine got used fairly well. As a matter of fact, it's somewhere in my box somewhere.
Yeah.
Not that I do that type of work anymore, really, but yeah.
Right.
And I mean, if you're doing that stuff on a regular basis, if not, vice grip.
The only thing that saves me on that is if Mike decides to buy one, because I know where it is in his toolbox.
That's right.
We play nice. We share our stuff, so it's...
Nobody could have... You can never have enough tools, but it's impossible to like, have them all.
You can't have them all.
You got to kind of cooperate when it comes to that stuff.
Exactly. All right,
well... Thanks very much for the information, guys. And if you hear anything, definitely let me know.
Oh, yeah, we'll be in touch.
We'll do, Mike.
All right. Have a good rest of the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
So long. All righty. And we are going to take... Now, people got to see the other side of my work existence there, because Mike is the guy that's belly-to-belly and shoulder-to-shoulder with me in the shop.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. He's your frequent...
He can tow anything.
Yeah.
He can hook it, book it, tow it.
You've told me the stories. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is not a talent that you find on every street
he
corner.
He parked a trailer, like a parallel park, at the shop yesterday, clearing the fence by about 2 feet within an inch of the wall.
Wow.
The taillights came within an inch of the wall. I like that, my friend, was precision.
Yeah. So. Some people have spatial abilities, but more than mortal men there.
I say go back up till you hear glass crack, and then you know, like, okay.
Yeah, you hear thump.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to thump our last break here. We're going to go and take a quickie, reestablish, and then you can give us a call again at 516-572-0606.
For today, at least.
Joe, this one is great. You're going to love this. How do you not play a song that's titled Hodge Podge Strained Through a Leslie? I kid you not.
Strained Through a Leslie.
So,
yeah.
On Motor Mouth Radio, dig a little bit of this on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Just because it's so cool to listen to this, Hodge, Podge, and Strain Through a Leslie by Steppenwolf on his second album, one of our new favorites here on Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, let's face it, you are definitely a Steppenwolf-a-file.
Oh, I've always been a big Steppenwolf-a-file, right.
Well, you gotta love them, I'm just saying. But,
well, but some people don't. You know, I know people who do not, so it's to each their own. We all have our... Yeah, we all have our proclivities, our musical proclivities, likes and dislikes. So,
sure,
we got a little bit of time left. 516-572-0606. Give
yeah.
us a buzz and see what's going on. We can. We got one on there now.
Oh, we got one on the line.
Let's
there.
Push that. Push this and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths,
gentlemen.
Hey, Bob. What's up?
What's going on, Bob?
I got two questions for you guys.
Uh-huh.
Shoot.
What was the recipe for that mixture you guys put in to lighten up the block that was frozen? What was the fluid you were using?
Corvette.
A special concoction.
Lighten up the block.
The Corvette.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, the locks.
About-
yeah. Oh no! I just sprayed the living crap out of them with a mixture of WD-40 and/or penetrant.
Yes.
I started with the penetrant because that stuff's nastier. And then I went to the WD-40 because I didn't feel like melting the entire...
You just pull the plugs out and saturate?
Oh, you mean, oh, the oh, I thought you meant the
rocks.
Yeah,
when you guys said you had to really put the ball on the crank and turn it, it finally went?
Diesel fuel, primarily diesel fuel.
That's a
little
good one.
Bit of marble mystery oil.
Are you mixing that concoction, or are you just putting it in as you go along?
Well, it all depends on what bottle is next to your foot at the time.
That's right. Well, that's true, yeah.
Well, believe it or not, like, I was like, what, are you kidding me? And then I had never used that particular concoction before. And then one of the, you know, the other guys have some junkyard background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and turns out that they learned it from an old timer back in the day. We had used it on that Ford Crown Vic with the Cobra, you know, with the 428 motor. A couple years back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was when I first saw it, and that took about 2 days of, like, letting it soak in. The Corvette took about two days, yeah.
You just added a little bit of the mixture of what was next to your foot. One day was one thing, one day was the next thing.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah. Sometimes what happens is it's primarily diesel fuel, and then what we would do is just, like, kind of sit in there and then... Just rock the crank back and forth.
Okay, so you sprayed first, and then you went to diesel fuel.
Actually, yeah, we gave it a little quick shot just on the old Hail Mary.
Okay,
right,
thing,
right.
But that wasn't happening. So then we decided to go full on loaded on up. You know,
and Bob, you could probably ask 10 people, get 10 different opinions, but you know, they're usually all along the same line, same vein.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, that's good to know. I guess every mechanic has their go-to, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. It's an experience thing for the most part. You know what I mean? Like I kind of backed off from anything that was considered to be fuel, but
yeah.
You know what? It's got a lot of lubricating properties, plus
that's
a little
what
bit
need.
Of penetrating properties.
And it's not going to hurt when it burns off, when the car does light off.
Right. Yeah. Plus, by that time, anything that's gotten past the rings, you know, that's all coming out. You know, the next oil change and stuff. You know?
Exactly.
Can't thank you enough, guys.
You got it, man.
Anytime, Bob.
Have a great week.
Talk to you. Bye-bye. You know, it reminds me of a story. My buddy Tom had bought a Fiat X19 back in the late 70s.
Right.
And the motor was seized. So we picked it up in, I think, Glendale.
Right.
And towed it back with his 68 Grand Prix.
Uh-huh.
My job was to sit in the Fiat.
Okay.
And the idea was, he gave me the explicit instructions. He goes, when I get up to like 30, 40 miles an hour...
Pop the clutch.
Yeah, put it in like third and pop the clutch. We did that. I tried it. Didn't work. Then we switched drivers. He got in the Fiat and I drove the Pontiac. And he was whopping on this thing. We could not free that engine. I mean, the car would literally just go... And like jump off the ground. I saw it swinging on the chain.
What are you trying to do to me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we got it home. And then finally it got to the point he tried different fluids at the shop he was working in. Finally he pulled the head and he was beating on the top of the pistons with a block of wood and a hammer. And he figured, you know what? I'm just going to break it.
Going to blow it, yeah.
Screw it, I'm just going to break it. You know, at this point it ain't going. And finally the piston started to move. He got that thing freed and he drove it. Not only, you know, did an oil change, put the head back on, then sold it to my older brother who drove it for a number of years.
Wow.
And sold it. The car survived. So
yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to give things a little bit of a mechanical shock there.
Yeah,
that and a little bit of chemical assistance.
That was the true Italian tune-up. Even I got Mike even says it now. He even talks about doing the Italian tune-up.
I see.
But that was the Italian tune-up du jour.
That was more like an Italian rebuild.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, let's face it. You got to do things like that sometimes. You know, it's easier. It was easier back in those days because clearances, precision, stuff like that.
Right.
They also made stuff out of real metal.
Yeah,
that has a lot to do with it. You try to do that some of that stuff with the newer vehicles, and they're probably going to be really mad at you.
Yeah, I know. Well, what won't be mad is we have some guests upcoming, Joe. We were trying to get Rich Waitis on today from Magnaflow.
It
didn't work out. We're going to get him on.
Right.
And also Kevin Tates from Paintucation. And,
the bodywork guy there, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Marty Schult from Eclipse Sunshades. So we have some guests in the future. We'll get them on.
Plus, you never know who else is going to sneak up the door and knock. So.
Exactly. Until then, we got to get out of here because Kim's going to come in and do Thunder Road, so stay tuned.
WHPC
90.3.
Bye.
See ya.